start conference recording, press 1. To return, the recording has started.
So left off yesterday, we mentioned that even though Rashi says that Sororos is Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai, the Gemara never uses that term per se, Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. You might use the phrase Huchsa Gemir La, that it's a halacha that's known to us by tradition. Rashi associates that phrase with what we call Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. It would appear that the Rambam disagrees, because the Rambam presents for us a principle that there are no machloksim, there are no arguments, no dispute concerning Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. You could have machloksim about the details of Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai, but about the very existence of Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai is not subject to debate. And the Gemara seems to present that Sumchus, one of the Tanoim, did, in a sense, deny this halacha of Tzoros. So according to the Rambam, how could it be halacha of Moshe Sinai if there's still a machlokas that's present? So it was this question that led the Netziv to suggest, and Netziv is an introduction to the Sefer Shi'ultos, suggests that maybe the term Huchsa Gemir La was mistranslated by us. Not literally mistranslated, maybe Rashi, in effect, took us down the wrong path in terms of what Huchsa Gemir La means. Says the Netziv, if the Gemara meant Halacha Moshe M'Sinai, the Gemara should have said Halacha Moshe M'Sinai. The Gemara says it in many places. The Gemara says Black Ritzuas Halacha Moshe M'Sinai, and the size of Mechitzas Halacha Moshe M'Sinai. The Gemara has a lot of statements that are Halacha Moshe M'Sinai. So what did the Gemara mean when it said Hilchus Gemir La? So the Netziv said what the Gemara must have meant is as follows. Remember yesterday we mentioned that the Rambam describes there are some things that are Tarshim HaPeh in the sense of no connection to the Tarshim HaChsav at all. And then there are other halachas that are derived from the Tarshim HaChsav. One of the tools that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us to derive halachas is to look at the Tarshim HaChsav, Dashin Kavachemes, Dashin Mamatzinos, Binyanav, Klal Prats, etc., all of the above, and you try to figure out how to apply the halacha properly. Now, when you're in those areas of halacha, then you are subject to a dispute, and then we have rules that you have to decide. Nimna v'gamru, you have to decide what the final halacha is, and then you follow whatever the rov is. So the Rambam in his introduction to Pesach Mishnayos elaborates upon this idea and says that there have been, this area of halacha has been developed for thousands of years, since the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, after Moshe Rabbeinu died. So Yeshua ben Nun already started to dash in. They already dash in Kavachim, as the Gemara describes, in Ramatzinus, and Bininavs. And every time a new issue came up, and any time a new shadow they wanted to discuss, so they went back to the rules, back to Tarshim HaChsav, and tried to figure out, which is what the Gemara does all the time. The Gemara quotes a Braisa, Tana Rabbanan, and says this Kavachim, that Kavachim, this Vav, that Vav, this says, etc. So this has been done already for thousands of years. So the Rambam tells us, in his introduction to Pesach Mishnayos, that very often you had an issue that came up, a shaila was discussed, and the Beis Din dealt with it, and the Beis Din came to a conclusion, and it was voted upon. This became the final psak of halacha. And then the later generations, so they didn't bother rethinking what the source was. The later generations, they already knew. They already had the precedent. They already had the Supreme Court precedent. So in the 1850s, there was a big machlekes about something, and the Supreme Court paskin. And now in the 1920s, so they don't go and reinvent the wheel. I mean, this is already nimnu v'gamru. This is already part of the tradition. So we already build on what the previous tradition was. But the source of the previous tradition was psukim, was drashas, was this aspect of Tashma Peh. It wasn't pure halacha Moshe M'Sinai. So the Netziv says that's all the Gemara means when it says halacha Gemirula. Halacha Gemirula just means that when the Tanoim were discussing the Shaila, they already had a clear-cut tradition that this is the din, that Tzoros pays Chatzin Ezek. What's the source? Where is it said in Tashma Ksav? I don't know. The Tanoim may not have known. The Tanoim may not have remembered. We're not sure. The Gemara never tells us what the source is. So halacha Gemirula just means that it was Nigmar, it was done, it was completed, it was already derived, it was already transmitted, it's already part of the tradition of Klal Yisrael, that Chatzin Ezek is Tzoros. Is it Halacha Moshe M'Sinai in the classic sense that it goes Ish for Pisha and Meish Rabbeinu with an oral tradition with no machlokas and no dispute and no quer? Not necessarily, says the Netziv. And therefore, Sumchus could theoretically say, you know, let's revisit the question. I'm not so sure that it's right. Maybe we have to rethink the Shaila. And the Chacham said, no, there's nothing to rethink. This is the din, Nimnu v'Gamru. We're perfectly comfortable with this din of Chatzin Tzoros, and there's no reason to rethink that this should be any different. But is it Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai in the real sense of the word? Not necessarily. So that's the breakthrough of the Netziv, the suggestion of the Netziv B'Das HaRambam. At the end of the day, it's a din deraisa. There's no question about that. It's a din deraisa. You only pay chatzin nezek. Is it part of that area, that category of halach called halach b'shem Sinai? So Rashi says explicitly yes, and the Rambam doesn't seem to buy into that. Doesn't make much of a difference. At the end of the day, that's the din. At the end of the day, the Beis is going to pass it that way. So it doesn't make much of a difference whether we view it through the eyes of halach b'shem Sinai, or whether we view it through the eyes of Hilchos Gemirah, that's part of the Torah, Shem B'Chsav, the Rosh, etc. So we'll have to see as the sugya unfolds a little bit more why that may become important, that there may be some very practical applications, what category of halach it actually belongs to.
Is this phrase Hilchos Gemirah, is it, this isn't like its singular use?
Right, it is used in other places. And then it's claims that in the other places that the Gemara used it, the Rambam would say the same thing. Right. Whereas other Rishonim say in other places Hilchos Gemirah, they stick in the phrase halach b'shem Sinai. Right? Again, at first glance there's no difference, but we'll see as we go on there may be a difference. But before we understand the ramifications of the source of this slash halach b'shem Sinai slash Hilchos Gemirah, we have to just make sure we understand what exactly was nimsa, whether it was nimsa b'toras halach b'shem Sinai, whether it was nimsa b'toras at Rasha. But at the end of the day, what exactly is included? What are the parameters of the statement that you pay chatzi nezek? So one obvious chiddush of this halacha is quantitative, namely how much you pay. Without this halacha, I would have said that you pay full nezek. I would have said this is just plain and simple regel. It's a plain told of the regel. Kamash b'lan, this halacha moshem sinai slash of the kibirla, kamash b'lan, that quantitatively you only pay halfway. However, is there more to it than that? Is there part of this halacha moshem sinai that addresses not just the quantity of how much you pay, but does it affect the quality of what you pay as well? Namely, there are really two different kinds of tashlum in the Torah. Actually, three, but we're going to focus on two right now. There are really two very, very different, qualitatively different types of tashlum in the Torah. There is a tashlum in the Torah of mamon. We spoke about this many times. Mamon simply translates to mean I'm paying corresponding exactly to what the loss of the other person was. So if I take a bat and I smash a window, so it's a very simple calculation. The basin figures out how much the window costs to replace, so $100, whatever it is, and I'll buy $100, $1,000, and I have to pay you X amount of money. Or, let's say if I borrow $1,000 from you, so Dazen will make me pay back $1,000 for a very simple reason. Now, that's the amount of money that I took, so obviously I pay $1,000 back. So that's considered halacha to be mamon. Then there's a second area of halacha called knas. Knas is when you pay an amount that's not incommensurate to what you damaged. So let's say a person steals something. So they get caught, they stole an animal, they shechted the animal. So they have to return the value of the animal itself. That's keren, that's mamon, because I stole a $1,000 animal, I have to pay back $1,000. But now the Torah slaps me with a fine of kefel, and then to make matters worse, I'm chayav dal behei four and five times because I shechted the animal. Those are all above and beyond what the loss actually was, and those are b'taras kenas. So there are tashlum in the Torah of mamon and there are tashlum of kenas. There are some very, very real differences in the halacha. One of the most striking differences in the halacha is if a person walks into Beis Din and he admits that he's chayav to pay mamon, there are no edim, there's nobody around, I walk to Beis Din and I say, I broke your window. I walk to the Beis and I say, I borrowed $100 from you. And there are no Eidim, so the halacha is, Hodas Baldin, Kimeh Eidim Dami. A person is obligated to pay based on his own testimony. That in the realm of Mammon, a person can be Mechayiv himself to pay money. Even if he turns around a week later and says, no, I was just kidding, I don't really mean, I'm not. Taflach, Hodas Baldin, Kimeh Eidim Dami. Nevertheless, the Gemara tells us later on in Bava Kamma that principle of Hodas Baldin, Kimeh Eidim Dami doesn't apply to Knas. So if a person walks into the basin and says, I stole an animal, and I shechted the animal, and now a week later he tells you a different story, so Beisdin will make him pay the bare minimum, namely the one-time payment. They'll make him pay for the keren, for the value of the animal itself, because that's mamon, but they will not make him pay the kefel, they will not make him pay the dal b'hei, because we have a rule called meid b'kenas potter. So these are two opposite principles from one another. One is hodas baldin kimeh edim dami, that's in the realm of mamon, and meid b'kenas potter, that's in the realm of kenas. Those are the ABCs, those are mishnayos and Baba Kamma and Ksubas, those are the ABCs in terms of hodas baldin. So now the question becomes, when we're dealing with chatzi nezek of tzoraros, what is chatzi nezek of tzoraros? Is chatzi nezek of tzoraros, is it mamon? Or is it knas? So what leads us to believe that it's mamon is because I did cause a damage. I caused $100 damage, so I am repaying the damage that I caused. So that seems to put it into the category of mamon. On the other hand, it's not exactly, it doesn't correspond to what the damage was. I'm paying only $50, the damage was $100. And maybe one could argue, when I pay, in a sense, the wrong amount, when I pay maybe more, maybe less than what the actual damage was, maybe that's considered to be in the category of knas. That's not even considered to be in the category of mamon. So that shayla that I just raised, is chatzi nezek considered to be mamon or knas? Now, in nafkamin ladina, is it, do you say hodos bal din like mamon on it? Do you say mod b'knas potter like knas on it? So the answer to that question is that for sure it's mamon. The Gemara says that explicitly in many, many places, that chatzi nezek, tzeros, is considered to be mamon. It is not considered to be knas. It follows the regular rules of mamonis, hodos bal din, kibbe edem dami. Nothing to do with Ma'ib Knas Potter. However, what is not clear in the Rishonim is the fact that Chazal make this sweeping statement that Chatzi Nezek of Tzuroros is Mamon, is that part of this halacha, the Moshe Mesinai slash of the Gemirula? That means I wouldn't have known that on my own. Maybe I could have said the other way, and I need a special Gili, a special Chiddush HaTorah to instruct me that not only quantitatively do I pay Chatzi Nezek, but part of the halacha of Moshe Mesinai slash Ochsa Gemirula is the qualitative statement that the nature of the very essence of the Tashlumen is Tashlumen. Mamon, that's also Nichlal in the halacha. What do I say? No, I don't need any halacha for that. Any time to get out, I could have figured that out. I need a halacha to tell me how much you pay, but I don't need a halacha to tell me what the type of payment is. So again, it doesn't sound like it should be too relevant, Lamaisa, because when push comes to shove, that's the din. Everybody agrees that you pay Bitaras Mamon. Everyone agrees that Tzoros is Mamon. What we're raising the question is, how do we get there? So we know where we are, now we're trying to figure out, retrace our steps. How do we get there? Did we get to that conclusion that Tzoros equals Mamon? That's an unequivocal statement. Everyone agrees to that, no shadows whatsoever. Chatzi Nezek is of Tzoros is Mamon. I just want to know, theoretically, was that something I figured out on my own, or is that something that I needed the Torah to hold my hand and to instruct me?
Is that similar to, like, Shane?
Okay, that's exactly what we're getting. That's what we're going to try to put together some similarities and differences. So if you take a look at the seventh in the of the Ma'amar Kamos, so the Rashba, the seventh of the Ma'amar Kamos, Naftezvav of Abayz, quotes this very Shaila. So Hadi Amrinan is quoting the Gemara in Naftezvav that says, So the Gemara makes a statement that Tzoros is Hilchus of Gemirula. And again, we don't know what that phrase means. It doesn't mean Rashi's version or the Rambam's version, but it doesn't matter for us now. That halacha, that Tzoros is Chatzi Nezek, and it's Dimamonahu, Ikal Amemah says the Rashba, one could suggest the hatik amba the hilchas of gemirula, that which the Gemara calls it a hilchas of gemirula, akula milsahadar, that hilchas of gemirula refers to all of the above, namely kloimar, the hilchas of gemirula. Number one, there's a special halacha, the eno chayv alachatzi nezek. That's the first half of the hilchas of gemirula. The ode the mamonu velo kenasa, and the second half of the hilchas of gemirula is that it's mamon, that it's not kenas. So the first pshat, the Ikal HaMeimah, the first interpretation of the Rashba is that yes, there are actually two aspects. There's one A and one B of this halacha slash the Moshe Mesinai slash the Chuzuk Mirula. One is the quantitative, how much you pay, and number two, qualitative, that you pay out to Mamun. I forgot the Enum Shavu Chatzin Nezek, and the Chiddush is that even though it's Chatzin Nezek, and maybe one could have argued that that's more prone to be a Knas, Kamash Belon, the halacha Moshe Mesinai, that it's not.
Isn't that what Rashi said?
Rashi said it. And now the Rashi says, but one could say something different. One could argue, the Hilchus HaGemirula, a Chatzi Nezek B'chudkai. When the Gemara says Hilchus HaGemirula, that means that there's a special halacha, either the Sinai or Gemirula, that you pay Chatzi Nezek. Klomar, Ha'ike Chatzi Nezek Tzroros, the Gemiri, the Hilchus HaHi, the Lom Shalom Kamash Hizik. Umihu, nevertheless, vada the kuliyama mamonu, it happens to be mamon taki orchiu, because after all it's normal, and generally speaking, whatever normal is mamon. So according to the Odia Shlomo in the Rashba, the second pshat, the Eish of the Farsh in the Rashba, that second nakuda, that second point, that isn't it mamon? Isn't that necessary as part of the halacha Moshe Sinai? No, not true. That the only thing the halacha Moshe Sinai is teaching me is the amount that you pay, whether or not it's mamon. Cold logic figure that out. That's obvious that it's mamon. The reason why it's mamon is because it's orchiyu. So again, in the end, it's not going to make much of a difference. In the end of the day, Tzroros is chatzin nezek, except according to Simchus. Tzroros is moment according to everybody, but we're not sure how we got to that point. Did we get to that point necessitating the halacha to teach us that, or did we figure it out on our own? What should this issue depend upon? Why should one say one way, or why should one say the other way? Why should there be some kind of a need for a halacha masinik to teach us that it's mammon or not? So we take a look back at the Gemara on the fifth of the Rambam Kamos. The Gemara we've referenced before, we're going to keep on coming back to this. It's one of the pivotal Gemaras in the first Bechor Bava Kamma. The Gemara takes a little bit of a sidetrack, talking about a different kind of chatzinezek. Besides Tzroros, there's another chatzinezek out there, and that is chatzinezek of a short tam. That's actually a pasuk in Chumash. The Torah says that if an animal gores or damages in an unusual manner, so the first three times, before it becomes a mu'ud, it's called a short tam, and you only pay the chatzos kasper, you only pay half of the damage. So the Gemara has a very, very lomdish shaila about what the nature of this chatzinezek is all about. It's a very, very strange din. My animal gores your animal, causes $1,000 damage, and the Torah says, okay, just pay 500. Very, very bizarre. What kind of halacha is that? So Itmar, the Gemara has the following shaila. Itmar, palganiska, how do we understand conceptually this idea of chatzinezek? We're not talking about tzoros now. Now we're talking about short tam. Rapapa of Mamona. So Rapapa says that chatzi nezek of a short tam is fundamentally mamon. It's fundamentally a logical payment. It's for a loss, for the hefsid mamon. You pay b'taras mamon. And therefore, it would carry with it all the halachas of mamon. Hodos b'din ki be'edim w would apply. Other details of mamon would kick in. According to Rapapa, chatzi nezek is just plain simple mamon. Rav Huna b'edim v'shua amak knasa. Rav Huna says no. Rav Huna says it's knas. It's a penalty. What's the issue? Rapapa of mamona. Kasava stam shvarim la b'ches kashima kaimon. Rapapa argues that chatzi nezek of short tam is mamon. Why? Because the starting point is that I cannot assume that my animal is going to be safe. I know I have an animal, even though it hasn't gored, it doesn't have a history of goring. I have no right to assume that it's going to control itself. The Torah, the starting point of the Torah is you have to watch your animal. And if you didn't watch your animal, then you are responsible for the full damages. Uvedinu deboilu shlemekule. And midas hadin dictates, I should pay the full amount because I was responsible for any loss that my animal caused. So why do I only pay half? Midas hachesed kicks in. Rachmanu dechasalei, the Torah had rachmanus on the fellow, the katalo ay Torah. Because since at the end of the day, we haven't given him ample warning. We haven't warned him three times. So the Torah gives him a break, looks the other way and says, okay, shh. Instead of paying what you're supposed to be paying, we'll give you a break and chisel it down a little bit, pay only half damages. So according to Rapapa's worldview of Chatzi Nezek is really Nezek Sholem. You really should be paying Nezek Sholem. That's what Midas Adin dictates. Because it's not 100% your fault. You know, we'll give you a little break, a little rachmanas, so we'll take away a half. We won't make you pay the full amount yet. But Midas Adin does dictate to pay Nezek Sholem. Since Midas Adin dictates to pay Nezek Sholem, the amount that you're paying is treated in halacha as mamon. You're not paying a knas, it's not a penalty. This is exactly what you're supposed to be paying, and the Torah just gives you a little bit of a break on it. But Rav Huna, the top of the page, Rav Huna brings the Shomar Knasa. Rav Huna has a whole different understanding, an entirely different mindset concerning Chatzinezim. Rav Huna brings the Shomar says that it's a knas. Why is it a knas? Kasava stam shvarim b'ches kashima kaimei. Rav Huna ben Yehoshua's opinion is that a person can assume that his animal's not going to go bananas in the middle of the street. I have an animal, I don't have to walk around holding on to the animal, I don't have to lock the animal up, I don't have to assume the animal's going to run around goring. Common sense dictates, stam shvarim b'ches kashima kaimei. And if a quirk, a crazy thing happens, the animal goes nuts, so I shouldn't have to pay at all. I really should hide behind. It's honest. It wasn't my fault. For achmanu dekanse, the Torah throws a knas at you. The Torah wants you to go the extra mile. Even though midas hadin dictates you should be totally patur, the Torah as a knas makes you a little bit more chayav than you should have been. So it's a classic half cup full of water. Namely, everybody agrees, tachlis should pay half the damage. The question is, which direction are you coming from? Are you starting out that you should have paid 100% and now we're chiseling down to 50? Or are you starting out that you should have paid 0 and you have a 50? You're in the same place, just we're not sure which direction you're coming from. And I always quote this when people sometimes ask me about shidduchim. So they want to know about where a boy's holding and something. So sometimes you can have two bachrim. And the mamshit at the same point means this one davened and this one davened, this one learned, but they're coming from different directions. One of them last year was struggling, wasn't really davening so well, wasn't learning so well, and he's on the way up. Another boy, last year he was learning 15 hours a day, now he's down to 3 hours a day. So he used to daven a shvar essay for 20 minutes, now he's down to 20 seconds. So the other guy never davened at all, he's still at 20 seconds. So you have to always know in life, not always as important where you are, it's where you're coming from. So here also, it's critical, which direction are we coming from? So according to our papa, we're coming from one direction, according to our funa, we're coming from a different direction, and that's going to happen after Kamil Medina, whether ultimately it's a knas or whether it's mama. So on the board, we have two different ways of understanding what chatzi nezik is all about. So why does this impact on tzroros? We're not even talking about chatzas of kenas of shortam. We're talking about tzroros. Why is this important? So comes the Shidduch Kabbatzis and suggests that whether or not you need a halacha l'mosh mesina or you need uchz gemirla to tell me that tzroros is mamon may be impacted by this shayla. Why is that? If you have on a model for you. You already have this model that exists, that you have in your mind already. Chatzi Nezek is a Knas type of halacha. So then you're viewing Chatzi Nezek through the eyes of Knas, and one would have thought, well, if Chatzi Nezek of Shortam is a Knas, so it's very possible that Chatzi Nezek of Tzoros is also a Knas. It's the same thing. This is Chatzi Nezek. So if your worldview of Chatzi Nezek is generally through the eyes of Knas, so then there was a good baseline, there was a good havamin to say, the chatzi nezek of tzoros is a knas. Therefore, it's necessary for the Torah to offset that half a minute. It's necessary for the Torah to tell me, don't go down that route. Don't make that mistake. Treat it as mama like it really is. But if you never heard of chatzi nezek being knas, knas means kefel, dalvei, 50 shkolim, 100 shkolim. Those are the knasas in the Torah. It says we never heard of such a thing as that half damage being a knas. That model doesn't exist. If that model doesn't exist, like mehechates, you should say it by tzoros. So why would you even think that the Torah has to even tell you that it's mama? Of course, it's mama. It's obvious mama. So at the end of the day, the machloik is whether we need a halacha moshe mesinai to tell me that tzoros is mammon or not. Again, there may not be enough kamina, but whether or not we need it, that may be more of a short time issue than is a tzoros issue. If you believe that there's a model in the halacha of chatzi nezek being knas, so then we can negotiate that when it comes to tzoros also, and you need a pasuk or a halacha moshe mesinai to tell me for keret. But if you don't believe such a model exists in the first place, so then why did this essay? Why should we even begin to think that exists by tzoros? But again, when all the dust settles, what we do know about tzoros is as follows. We know that, yes, there is one lone dissenting view of Simchus, that there's no such thing as chatzin as a tzoros. Shepay nezik shalim, but again, that's the das yachid, we don't follow that at all. Everybody besides Simchus agrees that the halacha exists. Whether it's halacha moshin like Rashi or hilchsik real like the Rambam is subject to a dispute. Everybody agrees that you pay as mamon, therefore hados ba'din would apply to tzoros. Whether or not we needed a halacha to teach me that, or whether I figured it out on my own, may be subject to 2 days in the Rashba, which may actually be machlokes in the Gemara itself.
What's the logic of the Torah punishing you for tzoros? I mean, even if you hold that animals are not b'chais kashim, right, and you really should have watched them carefully, you can be walking right behind your animal. Your shimu has nothing to do whether a stone flies off when it's walking. So why punish the owner for something that he has absolutely no control over?
Well, where is this taking place? It's not happening in the street. In the street, in fact, he's butter. It's happening in somebody else's property. So he shouldn't be in that other person's property in the first place.
So the knas is because he was on somebody else's property?
Because he's now damaging somebody else's property. Yeah. So that's already subject to a knas. Mm-hmm. You know, Khanabi in the street, he's like a butter.
Would everyone agree that Mamona Kiorchehu is it's a natural, reliable consequence of the action.
That's right, whenever it's something that's normal usually translates to mean mammon, right?
Right, but would tzoros be...
The Gemara says it is normal. The Gemara says that is normal. The Gemara says animal walking, kicking up pebbles, that's normal, right?
And it's reliable. Yeah.
But now, we go back to what we mentioned before, that there's machlekes that we showed in Rashi and the Rambam about whether we're dealing with halacha moshe mesinai, we're dealing with uchz gemirla, and we raise the question, does it really make a difference? At the end of the day, the din is true. Does it really make any bit of a difference what the nature of the halacha is? And the answer is most probably that it does. And we have to, I think that this line on the Gemara we didn't have. I think these marmikomas, I think it was on the last sugya, so okay, I have to say it about that. The Oh, no, we do. I'm sorry. I do. We have it. It's on the second Maram Kos. I'm sorry. It is here. So if you take a look at the second of the Maram Kos, the Yedzayin of the Beis, the Gemara goes back to analyzing Tzroros for a moment. Before we figured out where it came from, the Gemara has a lot of trouble understanding what Tzroros is all about. So let's take a look at the second of the Maram Kos and Yedzayin of the Beis. It's the third line from the bottom. So the Gemara has just quoted multiple brises presenting the Machlokes Subkos and the Rabbanan. And at the end of the third line from the bottom, Amar Rava. Bishlam Sumchus says Rava, Sumchus makes a lot of sense. Sumchus is very consistent. You pay a full amount. Why? Kasava kocha kegufo dami. Sumchus's view is that kocha is kegufo, that something that happens because of a force of an animal is the exact halach equivalent of the animal's body damaging. So there is no difference, says Sumchus, between an animal stepping on something and breaking it, or an animal kicking up some pebbles and causing something to be broken. Kochos kegufo dami. Ela Rabbanan, but the Rabbanan's view is very, very difficult. E kegufo dami, if the Rabbanan's view is that kocho is the same as gufo, kulei nezek by the shalim, then you should pay the full amount. If it's mamash the same as trampling, you should pay the full amount. V'ilav kegufo dami, if the Rabbanan's view is that it's not kegufo dami, chatzi nezek nam l'mashams, you should be totally potter. So then the animal did not do the damage. So where did this middle category come from? Where this middle category, this almost compromised category, come from that you pay chatzi nezek? Hadam Rava. So Rava concludes, says, no. Of course, the Rabbanan of the view that Sumchus is fundamentally right, that Kochu is Kegufo Dami. But you're right, even though, notwithstanding the fact that conceptually it's Kegufo, there's a Hilchasa Gemirla, which again, either the Moshe Masina or the Gemirla of the Rambam, that the halacha is slightly different quantitatively, you go down to a Chatzin Nezek. So, Akad Deviya Gemara. So, when you read this Gemara, and Rava is formulating the lumdus of the view of the Chachamim, La'olam kegufo dami, and chatzi nezek as if it's a gemira law, one can question Rava. How did Rava know that? Rava could have gotten to the same place in a totally different way. He could have come from a different direction. Why didn't Rava say, Hadam Rava, li'olam lav kegufo dami, that really it's not kegufo dami, chatzi nezek tzoros, so it's a gemira law that you pay, even though it's not kegufo dami. So, in the end, he got to the right number. In the end, Rava is describing the view of the Chacham accurately, that you pay 50%. But how did Rava know that the direction of the halacha is going from, it should have been 100%, and the halacha is chiseling it down? Why could Rava just as equally have said that the halacha really should have been you pay zero, because Koch was laughing for dummy, and the halacha is shooting you up to halfway? So how did Rava know which direction to go?
Before that, though, why couldn't the Gemara... say like Mishum Chetz or Kocho.
That's exactly what the Gemara is raising the question. Is Kocho Gufo Dami not? So by Adam Amazik, for sure it is. But we're talking about Behem Amazik, so maybe the rules are different. So Rav concludes, yeah, of course it's Gufo Dami. Of course, Midas Adin dictates the Gufo Dami, but Chatzin Ezek Tzoros is Chatzin Gemirla. So how did the Gemara know which directions to end up? Again, we got to the right destination. We're not quite sure why we went down that road. So if you take a look at the Rush in the ninth of the Maram Kamos, the Rush addresses this issue. It's the fourth line from the bottom of the Rush in Maram Kamos number 9. But Mishum Hachi, in the middle of the line, Mishum Hachi lo ka'amar li'el, kuliyama lo kuliyama kocha lavka gufa dami, v'chatzinez t'roa suchasa gemiru la demishalim chatzinezek. Why didn't the Gemara go in that direction? Mishum tepshitalei tehilchasa legru'ui asa. Because the Gemara knew that the principle of hilchasa is always lakula. Hilchasa has never come l'chumra. Hilchasa always come l'kula. And now the Rush begins with a startling proof. This is, those who were with us last year may remember this proof. The Rush is about the reference of Sugya Maseches Sukkah. Just as in Maseches Sukkah we find this principle that halachas are always l'kula, so too, this halacha is l'kula as well. So hopefully Metz Hashem on Friday, we have to begin to analyze what the Rush is talking about. This Rush has to be understood in and of itself. What in the world is the comparison to Sukkah? Is it a correct comparison? And then number two, how does this discussion of the Rush impact on the Machlokes Rashi and the Rambam? What does Hilchasa mean? Does Hilchasa mean L'moshe Messina? Does Hilchasa mean some kind of a drasha? How would either one of those Rishonim explain this Klal of the Rush, or perhaps disagree with this Klal of the Rush? So for Mitzvah on Friday, we're going to pick up with this Tikkun of the Rush.